Well, good morning. I'm Andrew, and this is my wife, Jenna. And our family, Jenna and I, and Lucy and Lily, have the privilege of serving as missionaries with the Church of the Nazarene. And as Pastor Brent said, we served most recently in Sri Lanka. Because of the pandemic and complications it created for our visas, we're temporarily back here in Kansas. So this is where we came from. And, you know, this is a little bit of a frustration for us to be back here when we didn't expect to be. And yet, it's been a great opportunity for us to visit with our partners and our friends in ministry. And so we are so grateful for this opportunity that we have. And we're really excited to be here in Topeka and to meet all of you today. Sri Lanka is a tropical island in the Indian Ocean. And as you saw from the video, it's an absolutely beautiful place. I hope you enjoyed some of the sunrise and sunset scenery that we had there. Jen and I really liked that video because we there's so many scenes in there that kind of capture what we saw all the time. And we hope that you enjoyed seeing some of those things. One of the things that our daughters, Lucy and Lily, love the most about Sri Lanka is the wildlife. And so for Lucy's fourth birthday, she's about 4 and a half now, but back in October on her fourth birthday, we went on a safari. And Sri Lanka has one of the best safaris in Asia. And we saw elephants and water buffaloes and lots of monkeys. And we saw one leopard. It was sleeping kind of high up on a cliff face. And it was a lot of fun. One of the most charming things for Jenna and me about Sri Lanka was that there's a lot of wildlife that lives right in the city. And so we lived in Colombo, the capital city of Sri Lanka, a city of about 5 million people. And we love to tell people that from our kitchen window, we could see the downtown skyline, the skyscrapers of Colombo. And we could also see a crocodile that lived in a pond just across the street from our building. And apart from the crocodile, there's lots of other wildlife. On our very first night in Sri Lanka, Jenna and I laid awake in the middle of the night, and we listened to the tropical birds in our neighborhood. So first of all, Sri Lanka is literally on the opposite side of the world from Kansas, and so to our bodies, it felt like the middle of the afternoon, and to our, at the time, 2-year-old daughter, she was convinced it was the middle of the afternoon. But then the second thing is that the tropical birds in Sri Lanka, and there are many of them, sing all night long. They never stop singing. And around the pond where the crocodile lives, there are parakeets and parrots and pelicans. There are kingfishers, and there are the biggest bats in the world. They're called Indian flying foxes. And every night at sunset, the Indian flying foxes come across the pond. And the tropical birds in Sri Lanka never stop singing. Sri Lankan people don't even realize it. When we pointed this out, they didn't even know what we were talking about because they're so used to the sound that they don't even know it's going on. But when we first arrived in Sri Lanka, the bird song kept us up all night long. We want to welcome you to Faith Promise Sunday. Faith Promise is an opportunity for us to partner with the Church of the Nazarene in Nazarene missions all around the world, in places like Sri Lanka. Jen and I are excited to be with you this morning, and we are thankful for your partnership in God's mission. And this morning we want to talk about God's mission. We also want to say thank you for inviting us. Thank you, Pastor Brent, for inviting us to be here. It's a real privilege for us. Jesus articulates God's mission in Matthew 28:19. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And I love the mission statement for the Church of the Nazarene because it just plagiarizes Jesus. This is it. The mission of the Church of the Nazarene is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. God gave us a mission, and Jesus commissioned his followers to make disciples in all nations. And the amazing thing is that they did it. And our brother and sisters in Sri Lanka like to remember that in just a few years after Jesus gave this great commission, Thomas, also called Didymus, also called Doubting Thomas, eventually Saint Thomas, Thomas went to Sri Lanka and shared the gospel there. And today, there is a cathedral, a Catholic cathedral in downtown Colombo called St. Thomas's, and it commemorates St. Thomas's first century arrival in Sri Lanka. God's mission, Jesus' great commission, has been the mission of the church from the very beginning of the church. And still today, that commission is our mission as the Church of the Nazarene. Jenna and I participate in cross-cultural missions, but each one of us, every single one of us, is called to participate in the mission, whether that's cross-cultural or whether that's just across the street. I shared about the tropical bird song in Sri Lanka, because the birds that sing all night long have been a reminder to me of God's mission in uncertain times. And so this morning, we want to consider what it means for our church to be like those birds. What does it mean for us to sing in the dark?
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together this morning. I want to continue what Andrew's already started sharing and tell you that in October of last year, our families found ourselves in a dark place. Maybe some of you did too, in the middle of the global pandemic. We'd been through a 9-week lockdown earlier in the year, and then we'd had some normalcy, but we found ourselves in October thrust back into widespread lockdown, and things were even worse than before. Sri Lanka had experienced a second wave of the COVID virus, and health officials were actively carrying out random testing, and they were taking people to treatment facilities, and it was really a time of fear and suffering and darkness. And it was during this time that regular life and ministry became impossible again, and we found ourselves crying out to God, why is this happening? Why this darkness? Why this kind of seemingly something that's in the way of your mission? It was in the midst of that darkness and fear and frustration that God gave us the passage that he asked us to share with you today. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, it'll also be up on the screen. But today, we'd like to share with you this passage that's been placed on our hearts in the middle of our own personal darkness, but also maybe this darkness that we've experienced corporately around the world during a global pandemic. And that text, our text this morning, comes from Acts chapter 16. This passage is one that tells about God's restoration story and how God delights in using unlikely people in unlikely places to fulfill his mission. He's an unlimited God, and he will accomplish his mission despite how unlikely the circumstances seem. In this passage, we find Paul and Silas, and they're on a missionary journey. We read about Paul's missionary journey all through the book of Acts. He is going from city to city with various partners, planting churches, evangelizing, praying with people. All kinds of good things are happening. Paul and Silas have been deeply and personally impacted by that scripture that we just read, by the words of Jesus, his commission to his disciples to go and make disciples. And so they've really taken that upon themselves, and they're crossing cultures, and they're traveling, and they're visiting new places, and they are about the mission. They're making disciples in the nations. We read the story of Paul's missionary journey, and we read how passionate he is and how committed he is, and how intentional he is in his relationships. And we read that there are times in his missionary journey where it bears much fruit. In fact, in Acts chapter 16, before the place that we're going to focus on today, there's this story about a woman named Lydia. Maybe some of you remember the story of Lydia. And in that story, in Acts chapter 16, we read about the good fruit, the fruit that is bared, because Paul and Silas go and they meet Lydia. And we read in Acts chapter 16 that she and her whole family come to believe in the Lord Jesus, and they welcome Paul and Silas as celebrated guests in their home. And it's beautiful, and it's vibrant, and it probably felt like the mission of God was being accomplished. But today we're going to start in a different part. Today we're going to start in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And when we get there, that joy and excitement that they felt with Lydia, that joy and excitement might have stopped. They might feel a little frustrated. They might feel like things are a little dark in this story. Because in the story that we're going to read, the momentum that they've had in ministry, it comes to a halt when they find themselves in prison. And suddenly their missionary journey can't continue because they're literally in chains and in the dark. So let's start reading in verse 22. This is Acts chapter 16, verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. This is the crowd to whom they've been sent, their missionary congregation. This crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So suddenly, Paul and Silas, who've been on this missionary journey and had all this fruit, they find themselves in prison. They find themselves in the dark, in kind of a chaotic and disappointing and frustrating scene. The crowds have turned against them. They don't appear like it's going to be a place where they can be successful in mission. And all the good and hopeful and joy and celebratory things that have been going on in their ministry seem lost. And it's very dark. Can you imagine that scene? They're in chains. There's other prisoners around. It's probably a sense of desperation and hopelessness, maybe hunger, fear. It's dark because it's the middle of the night, likely very uncomfortable. And yet, these dark circumstances, this place where it feels like it would be difficult for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done, this is the place that God has called them as they participate in this mission, in the missionary journey that he's called them to. This is the place that God has asked them to be faithful. This is the place where God has said, even in these unlikely circumstances, I have purpose here and mission here, and I have called you to be here and to participate in my mission. This too, this place, it's an opportunity for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. So how do Paul and Silas respond? You can see there in Acts chapter 16 that their response is kind of curious, because if it was me, I feel like stuck in jail on the middle of my missionary journey in the dark in chains, my response might be frustration. Paul and Silas could have been worried. They could have been angry. They could have been trying to explain their way out of this prison. It was all a misunderstanding. They could have been defeated. They could have given up and felt like this was a departure from the mission of God and something to be escaped so that they could rejoin what God was actually calling them to do. That's how they could have been feeling. But instead, we find them here, and they're not doing any of those things. What are they doing? They're worshiping, and they're singing hymns to God. They're praying. When their hope for success and ministry and even their hope for freedom from this jail is in question, they've postured themselves in praise of their Creator in the middle of the night, in the darkness. When hope for success is distant, probably not going to be accomplished, they choose to praise and they choose to sing. In Acts chapter 16, verse 26, the story continues. And it says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake. This might be their escape, right? There was a violent earthquake such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and their chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. That's what most people would do. But Paul and Silas shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your households." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. If you look at the order of events that night, the action began with Paul and Silas worshiping. They're missionaries, and they're on a missionary journey, but their first act in this story is to worship. First, they pray and they sing, and then God acts. Somewhere in the middle of the earthquake and the despair, and then the relief, God opens the door for his mission to be accomplished in this story. The jailer rushes to Paul and Silas and he asks, he's very relieved because the prisoners are still there, and he asks, "What must I do to be saved? This example you've given has caused me to question, and how can I have this Jesus?" And the writer of Acts records that it's then, when the question is asked, when God has provided this opportunity, then Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. So first they witness with their lives postured in praise, with prayer and worship and honor to God. And then God provides an opportunity for them to witness in word and in deed, sharing the gospel with the jailer and with those prisoners who are listening. Paul and Silas were missionaries on a missionary journey, but they never planned to be in prison. That probably wasn't something that they planned as they were looking at the different places they would go. They didn't plan to be in that prison that night. It wasn't a part of their strategy, but they found themselves in that prison and in this dark place with unlikely circumstances. They found themselves there and they realized that the mission of God remained. The mission of God was still there. God's mission is to proclaim the good news by our actions and our words when it's possible. And so in the darkness of that prison, Paul and Silas sang out, and someone was listening. We often think that missions is in far-off places. We have maps around here, and we're visiting you from Sri Lanka, and we think of missions as something that's happening in faraway places, but the truth is, the mission of God is to proclaim the good news in our actions and our words wherever we are. Isn't that right? And so we are called to worship wherever we find ourselves and whatever our circumstances because someone is listening. And God will provide a way for his mission to be accomplished because he's unlimited and he'll get it done. So we're called to worship now. We're called to worship and recognize that God is working in the lives of people around us and in his time, we may be able to share in words. When we find ourselves in a dark place, and for some of us, in prayer this morning, it was alluded to, some of us may have some hard circumstances right now, health circumstances, family circumstances, COVID-related circumstances. We don't yet have a pastor, a full-time pastor here. We may have circumstances that seem dark or unlikely, but our role and our responsibility and our privilege is to sing out in the midst of dark circumstances.
As Jenna and I have dwelt on this passage and thought about what it means to worship and to sing out in dark circumstances, a friend of ours shared an image with us that we spent the Easter season kind of imagining. And so I want to share this with you and just put this image in your mind. Matthew chapter 27 tells of Jesus's death. And in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 46, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And the writer of Matthew records these words, Matthew 27:45. "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" I've often thought of this scene from Matthew chapter 27 as the lowest point in Jesus' life. This is the moment in which he felt abandoned by God the Father. And maybe that is how he felt, but I'd like to suggest a different scene. When Jesus cried out, he was quoting Psalm 22, one of David's psalms, and a psalm that we read earlier this morning. David writes in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? In Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18, David continues, dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All of my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Psalm 22 is a prophecy of Jesus' death. And by quoting it on the cross, Jesus makes the connection between David's prophecy and his own fulfillment of that prophecy for those who are listening and who would have recognized Psalm 22. But besides being a prophecy of Jesus' death, Psalm 22 was also, at some point, a song. And if you look at the beginning of Psalm 22, at least in a lot of versions, it says something like, to the tune of the doe of the morning. It seems likely that Jesus and his fellow Jews grew up singing Psalm 22, and it's possible that that melody was quite familiar. And so I don't think it's much of a stretch to imagine that if Jesus could muster the strength while he was on the cross, that maybe he sang, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in fact, throughout Christian history, there have been scholars and historians that have suggested that Jesus actually died singing. And it's an image of Jesus that, until very recently, I had never pictured. Matthew records that from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness covered the land. And so, if Jesus was singing on the cross, he was singing in both literal and, of course, metaphorical darkness. And I wonder if when Paul and Silas sang in prison in literal and metaphorical darkness, I wonder if they were imitating what they knew Jesus had done, singing in the dark. And even if Jesus couldn't sing, even if he couldn't sing the words, if he couldn't muster the strength to let out much more than a cry, the Jewish people nearby who heard Jesus would have recognized Psalm 1. They would have recognized verse 1 of Psalm 1, and they maybe would have recognized that melody, but they would have known the verses that follow in Psalm chapter 22. And this morning we read Psalm 22, verses 22 through 24, which say, I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the wicked. The suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. Rather than crying out in abandonment, I think Jesus was posturing himself in worship. I think he was worshiping. And I think that Jesus recognized God's nearness in this moment. And by worshiping, he was pointing others toward his Father, toward God. And just by quoting a single verse, Jesus would have reminded his fellow Jews of the rest of Psalm 22, that God had not hidden his face, and that he was listening at that very moment to his son's cry for help. Even in death, God's mission was Jesus' mission, the mission of God. And Jesus cried out in worship, even in his dying moments, and reminded those who are listening of God's faithfulness and his nearness. And even in the darkness of their prison cell, Paul and Silas's mission was still God's mission. And God moved hearts, and he moved prison walls and provided an opportunity for Paul and Silas to accomplish his mission. They worshiped. They worshiped, and then the opportunity was presented, and then they spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and to his family. In Sri Lanka, the tropical birds, they sing all night. And their song is actually something that Jenna and I kind of miss now that we're back in Kansas. But as our church thinks about missions, as our church thinks about God's mission in the year 2021, Jenna and I are convinced that in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficult days, we are called as a church to sing in the darkness.
And it's felt pretty dark. We'll speak from our experience. It's been a difficult season, 2020 and 2021. These have been days that were unprecedented and unexpected. And maybe some of you feel the same way. Maybe our friends here at Topeka Fairlawn, maybe there have been seasons of wilderness in these past couple of years, or difficulties, or like I said, health things, or family things, or church family things. Maybe for some of us, 2021 and ministry in 2021 isn't exactly what we expected, and maybe isn't what we would have chosen if given the choice. Perhaps this isn't how we thought life and ministry would look. Our family can empathize because we shared with you this morning in our Sunday school breakfast that we didn't expect that COVID situation and then also our visa instability would bring us off the field earlier than expected. We didn't expect that we would be unable to go back to Sri Lanka because of visa instability. And frankly, it's not what we would have chosen. It doesn't seem all that strategic. At times, it has felt very dark. And the truth is, sometimes we're invited to participate in the mission of God in broad daylight, when everything is in the right place, when we have the resources, when we're prepared, when the harvest is ripe, and we have all the money and the personnel and the volunteers, and just everything is right and the fruit is visible, and that's really great. But more often, we're invited to participate in the mission of God when circumstances aren't quite right, when we're not old enough or we're too old, when we don't have the resources or the personnel or enough of anything that we need, when there's a global pandemic or there aren't the right visas. More often, we're invited to participate in the mission of God when these kinds of things are our circumstances. And lately, it feels like this is more the space, at least for our family, this is more the space that we've been living in. There's been suffering, there's been darkness, there's been hurt and anguish and hopelessness and defeat. And yet, this morning we want to share what God has shared with us in these days, that our missional God has not forgotten his mission. He's not retracted his statement to his people to go and make disciples in the nations. Even when the going part is hard, he hasn't forgotten that mission that he's given to us. And so this is an opportunity. This too, this time and this space is an opportunity for us to participate faithfully in the mission of God. This Faith Promise Sunday is an opportunity for us to respond to his invitation to participate in the ways in which he's calling us to do so. And it happens when we worship. It happens when we posture our lives in praise of our Creator. When we aren't distracted by the circumstances or the darkness or those things that might be hindering, seemingly, the mission of God, but when we honor him, when we give glory to him, when we worship God in spite of those circumstances. The beauty in this story in Acts chapter 16 and the encouragement for us here today is that God delights in using the most unlikely of people, prisoners, jailers, in the most unlikely of places, the middle of the night in a jail. He delights in using those kinds of people and those kinds of circumstances to accomplish his mission in the world. We may feel like it's not the right time or the right place. We may feel like we're not the right people or we're not ready quite yet, but God wants to use us. He wants to invite us and see us respond to his invitation to join him in the mission that he is accomplishing in his world. And that constant bird song, we've been talking about those birds in Sri Lanka. They were kind of an annoyance at the beginning because we couldn't sleep, but they became so comforting to us as they sang, "On nights of literal and metaphorical darkness." It gets dark every night at 6 p.m. in Sri Lanka. It's on the equator. And we would listen to those birds in the early days of our assignment when we had a toddler with jet lag. That's weeks of your life gone when your toddler has jet lag. And then when we were on lockdown, we would listen to their song as we were tending to a newborn baby. They're up all night long with the birds. So we would listen to the song of those birds on nights when it was dark and when it felt dark, because we were isolated from not only community, but the ministry that we felt like God was calling us to do. And we were encouraged. We were encouraged by those birds' song. Our hope and prayer this morning is that we, as a community, as a family, that we would be encouraged and empowered to respond to God's invitation. Whether it's participating in giving to the World Evangelism Fund, whether it's responding to the call of God to minister across the world or in your neighborhood, we pray that each of us here would be emboldened to respond to the call of God. And may we be people who sing in dark times. These are not easy days, we know that. But may we be people who sing out in praise of our Creator in dark days. May we trust that our lives lived in worship will give way, give opportunity to share in word and deed the gospel with the people around us. And may we take it a step further. May we be people who, when our lives are postured in praise, respond in faithfulness and see the people around us, those people who need Jesus. In Sri Lanka, it was easy. 70%, 75% of the country is Buddhist. I think less than 1% are Christian. And so it was easy. There were lots of neighbors who needed the Lord. Maybe it's not so easy here in our community. Maybe it's a little stickier to look for them, but may we be people who are prepared to share the gospel in word and deed and to respond to God's invitation to make disciples in all nations and in our neighborhoods. Thank you so much for having us this morning. We're grateful for your partnership, your participation with us in the mission of God around the world. It's a privilege for us to serve with you together. Pastor Brent.
Thank you very much. Could we thank them for their ministry this morning? The worship team is going to come. Could I invite you to stand? There are three things that I'd like to invite you to participate in this morning as we finish. The first has to do with our faith promise. All of you have received these pledge cards. If you didn't get one, they're right in the foyer. But we have the privilege of 1 out of 10,000 Nazarene churches around the world to join together to ensure that our church is evangelizing where God has opened doors. Right now, the Church of the Nazarene is in 164 world areas. We have 531 missionaries, 325 children of those missionaries, and they all come from 64 different countries. They're not just missionaries from the United States and Canada, but we have the privilege of joining with over 10,000 churches today in joining together to help create what we call the World Evangelism Fund. And this church has made a commitment to provide over $28,000 to that fund to ensure that missionaries receive a salary, and there's insurance, and there's travel funds, and there's computers, and there's slideshows that can start with sunrise and sunsets, but it's our privilege. So would you please fill that out? And in the back, right as you leave, there's a different basket, and it says missions. You can just place that there. We're going to receive these for the next couple weeks. So if you want to go home, pray about it as a family. Make sure that your family is participating. Invite your children to participate in this. You might invite them to give a certain percentage of what they work for or the money that you give them. Let your children be a part of this decision. Second thing I'd invite you to do is, would you give a generous gift, especially for the Stouts this morning? You can also put that in that basket. That will go to their ministry, help to cover their expenses. The third thing, could I invite you to pray for them? They are going through this time of home assignment, and their next ministry step is a bit in question. They know they're going back to the Eurasia region, but they don't know exactly what that looks like, what country they'll be going to, because right now they're having visa challenges in Sri Lanka. So please, each one of those three, if you can participate in that, we would certainly appreciate it. Worship team, would you please come? I invite you to fill out your pledge forms, and then I'll come back and dismiss us.
I invite you guys to continue worshiping with us. We're going to celebrate.
I'd like to invite the Stouts, if you'll go back to the table, please go back and ask questions. They have a place that you can sign up if you'd like to receive their regular email newsletter so that you can pray for them and follow their ministry. They would love to keep connected with you. Would you receive this benediction? May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. This week, may His face shine upon you, and may He be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. So now, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. For He's already gone before you. You're dismissed, my friends. Have a wonderful week.